Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, September 27th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, we're recording a little early tonight. There's a big Titanic heavyweight struggle going on Monday night that we are anxiously awaiting. So if there's any big news that breaks late Monday night, I guess we're going to have to throw it into Wednesday's show.
All right. First up in the news, Sierra Bagas spontaneously combusts.
Don't say that. I love Sierra.
I know. She's on fire. That girl's hot.
Yeah, but this is not a good story, unfortunately, because earlier this summer, James, we discussed that the lovely and talented Sierra Bagas, who we do not wish to catch on fire, would be returning to the role of Christine Daae in Andrew Lloyd Webber's The Phantom of the Opera for the 30th anniversary production at Paris's, I don't do French, Mogador Theatre. It's probably awful. Unfortunately, over the weekend, the theater suffered a fire that damaged the production scenery and the theater's floor, as well as injured a firefighter. No other injuries were reported, thankfully, but you know, the production was originally scheduled to begin performances on October 4th with an official opening on the 13th. However, yesterday, they officially postponed the production until an unspecified future date as they are currently assessing the full extent of the damage. The production, which was to be performed in French, has said that any ticket holders can obtain reimbursements from their specific point of sale. And to kind of combat the gloom that comes along with having their production postponed, yesterday morning U.S. time, Sierra posted a video of members of the show's cast giving an impromptu performance outside the Paris Opera House, which of course is where the show is actually set. We will have that video in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. James, there's a lot of people throwing out the word curse, which we are wont to do in theater circles and specifically in a show about, you know, a phantom that throws fire. I don't tend to believe in that stuff unless it involves which seat on the couch I'm sitting in for an Ohio State football game, but this is really too bad. I mean, this is a big event, and it's such a cool thing that the 30th anniversary production was going to be done in French in Paris with Sierra Bagas, who's done this role in multiple shows and multiple productions. I'm really disappointed that this will be postponed, but hopefully they'll eventually figure out how to put it together in Paris down the road.
Did I not instruct that box 5 was to be kept empty?
That's awful.
When they did the little performance outside, you know what they called it?
I hesitate to even ask. No, James, tell me what they called it.
Fan for fan.
Oh, Jesus.
So, you know, they're going to rebuild and do the production, aren't they?
I mean, yes, they did not cancel the production. They just postponed it until they could figure out either A, how bad the damage is, or how long it will take to rebuild or to relocate. I don't know. But, you know, when it's tied to anniversaries, these things tend to, you know, kind of lose their steam if it's not tied, you know, to around that specific date. But knowing ALW, I assume that they will get something figured out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, nobody's going to stick it to the man there.
Jesus, you are in full pun heaven today.
I'm very punny today. All right. So next up, the Broadway flea market raises a record total for Broadway Cares.
Yeah. On yesterday's show, we discussed the 30th annual Broadway flea market and grand auction that took place on Sunday in Schubert Alley and benefited Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. This year's festivities included 68 tables, 73 Broadway stars, and 206 live and silent auction items. The event raised $782,081, which is more than $25,000 more than the previous record, which was set just last year. And this year's total brings the flea market's 30-year total to, get this, James, $12.6 million raised for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. Congratulations to everyone involved with the event, from Broadway Cares to the vendors to the shows and their staffs that participated to the stars, and most importantly, to the fans who made this record possible. James, as we often talk about, this is just another example of theater folk finding a fun way to do something positive for the larger community.
I hope that Tom Viola and all the good folks over at Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS took a much needed rest today, because that's a lot of work to do all the stuff that they did for the the flea market and grand auction, and they also had a beautiful day in New York to do it.
They could.
Good. It was just, you know, sometimes some years it's just really rainy, crappy, and everybody's, you know, as soon as you start to see one raindrop, everybody's like, is it canceled? Is it on? Is it canceled? Is it on? But they had no worry of that. Yes, it was a beautiful day, and congratulations to everybody.
I'm glad to hear it.
So tell us about last week's grosses.
Well, after last Monday's, not yesterday, but the week before's Broadway week enhanced numbers, the total grosses this past week dipped 0.04%, but that was while picking up four new shows. So there was a lot of expected red numbers on last week's docket as we move into this slower fall season. Unsurprisingly, with the cast that this show boasts, the front page led all new shows with pulling in $922,000 in just its first six performances. Oh Hello did a pretty strong $247,237 in just three performances at the Lyceum Theater. The other two new shows, The Encounter and Heisenberg, were a little slower in their respective first weeks. The Encounter grossed $325,531 over eight performances, while Heisenberg brought in $267,000 over just seven performances. Both totals put those shows in the mid-40s of gross potential for the week. Hamilton, which played nine performances last week, led the way as the only show over $2 million, and it actually was pretty close to $2.5 million. The Lion King, Book of Mormon, Wicked, and Aladdin were all well above seven figures as well. One show that I was interested in, though, James, and we've talked about this one a lot as kind of being completely atypical from the rest of the season, and that's Waitress. After it hit its peak high gross total in July, the show has been fairly consistent in the grosses each week, especially considering all the turnover in the tourist seasons that we've had recently. After having its lowest eight performance total the week that ended on September 11th, Waitress rebounded nicely in the past 2 weeks, pulling in consecutive back-to-back black numbers to bring it up to $876,000. So in a time when a lot of these other shows are kind of going down with tourists heading out of town, this one seems to be fairly consistent, whether it's tourists coming to see it or folks that might have been waiting for tourists to leave to come in and see a Broadway show. So that's really encouraging for this Sarah Bareilles musical. Lewis Black's Black to the Future continues to impress with just one performance per week, this time bringing in over $157,000, which is over 93% of its gross potential. James, even though 19 of Broadway's 28 shows were in the red last week, as a whole, they were still up 8.75% from last year, even though 2016 only has two more shows running than last year, and one of those is Black to the Future, which only plays one performance each week. So I guess there are some pretty positives in these grosses, even though it looks fairly bloody when you just look at that list as a whole.
Yeah, you know, I think that there are some positive things going on here. I think that we had an unusual, I know I have no data to back this up, but it feels like we took a lot earlier hits on shows closing in the summer than in previous years. But I actually don't have any numbers for that. It's just a feeling. So
we've talked all summer that it just didn't feel like summer numbers. It didn't feel like all the tourists were boosting up some of these shows and giving them good war chests over the summer. So hopefully that means that money will be spread out into the fall so it can maybe keep some shows running that might have taken really big hits and decided to close in the fall. I don't know if that has to do with Hamilton's original cast members starting to leave the show, and they're not all gone at this point. You still have Chris Jackson and a few others. But, you know, I wonder if as that original cast goes out, it'll still be a huge juggernaut. But maybe people will say, OK, if I can't see Hamilton, I'll go see something else, where it seems like over the summer they were saying, I only want to see Hamilton. If I can't get into Hamilton, I don't want to go anywhere else. So hopefully these, you know, we're still going to see losses in the fall, but hopefully we'll continue to see them not be as drastic and dramatic as they could be or have been in the years past.
Thinking about what you just said, it makes me wonder if there is, as the Hamilton hype has died and we haven't talked every single day about Hamilton, if it's given some breathing room for other shows to get their message out there that they do exist. So hey, maybe that's what we're seeing in the numbers here.
Hopefully.
All right, what's up in the show and casting announcements?
Well, James, as I'm sure you know, you probably have the date tattooed somewhere on your body. The iconic John Hughes teen angst comedy 16 Candles came out in May of 1984, just 6 months after the Academy Award-winning film Terms of Endearment was released nationwide. Well, next month, those two iconic films will kind of collide as Brat Packer Molly Ringwald will play Aurora Greenway, Shirley MacLaine's role in the film, in the U.S. premiere of the stage adaptation of Terms of Endearment. The show will play 59 East 59th, beginning on October 29th and running through December 11th. More casting and opening night details will be announced soon. If you are unfamiliar with maybe the stage credits of Molly Ringwald, she's appeared on and off Broadway in shows like Cabaret as a replacement in the original off-Broadway production of Tick, Tick, Boom. She was in Enchanted April on Broadway and led the Sweet Charity National Tour as well. Speaking of stars often seen on screen returning to stage, yesterday the Roundabout Theatre Company announced that Tony nominee and Obie winner Maren Ireland would lead the world premiere of Martin Zimmerman's solo play On the Exhale. Directed by the fantastic Lee Silverman, the show is the second from Roundabout Underground's newly expanded two-play season. The production will begin performances on February 7th and will run through April 2nd at the Black Box Theatre in the Harold and Miriam Steinberg Center for Theatre. All tickets for Roundabout Underground shows are just $25 and will be available at a later date. From one not-for-profit theater company to another, today marks the first performance of Manhattan Theater Club's new play, Sell by Date. And while normally I would not feel compelled to do this, I think for this one I need to spell out this show title. It is Sell, S-E-L-L, slash, by, B-U-Y, slash, date, common spelling. The show is written and performed by Sarah Jones and is directed by Carolyn Cantor. It is described as a dazzling medley of characters and an exuberant new show inspired by the real-life experiences of people affected by the sex industry. Interesting. The show is currently scheduled to run through November 13th. And finally, in our show and casting section, yesterday it was announced that Tony nominee Jennifer Simard and soon-to-be Hello Dolly cast member would be playing Cindy Lou Who in the world premiere of Matthew Lombardo's Christmas comedy in couplets, Who's Holiday, at New World Stages from November 2nd through January 2nd. James, I love the plot description for this show, and it reads, the story involves a middle-aged Cindy Lou Who, now residing in a beaten-down trailer in the snowy hills of Mount Crumpet. As she prepares to host a Christmas Eve party for her friends, she recalls from her own perspective that fated night when she first met the Grinch and the strange turn of events her life has taken for the past 40 years. Obviously, as it says, it's done in couplets, so you can expect quite a bit of naughty Seussian-type rhymes. This sounds hilarious. I think this is going to be a huge hit, not only off-Broadway, but regionally for years to come. And I can't think of a better person than Jennifer Simard to lead the world premiere.
I was just thinking that I'm already laughing just thinking about Jennifer Simard doing this. So definitely going to go see that. All right. We just mentioned that Hamilton's not been in the news, but he is slightly back in the news, where Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, was booed at the Hamilton performance.
We talked about the debates and getting political at the top of the show. But according to Page Six's Ollie Coleman, as all politicians and world leaders should, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu headed over to the Richard Rogers Theater on Saturday night to take in a performance of Hamilton. However, because of the heightened security surrounding his presence, the show started late. Not a good thing on Broadway for Broadway audiences. But Netanyahu did take his seat while the house lights were still up. So according to a spy that told Coleman, quote, there was a lot of applause when he walked in, but definitely a few loud boos. James, I don't want to ascribe motivations to the audience members that were booing, but it very well could be due to the fact that the show was starting late and not necessarily the state of Israeli-U.S. relations.
Yeah. I keep on wondering to myself, did he get those tickets a year ago? How did he get such good tickets?
I have a feeling that that Benjamin Netanyahu could probably get tickets however he wanted. I don't think he's worrying about waiting on the ham for ham lottery line.
So, well, you know, this is not a politics show, but I'm just going to say I'm not a fan. I would have probably booed.
I've got to tell you, hold on. I follow politics fairly closely, and given the security, you kind of understand, you know, that people knew something was going on. But I got to be honest with you. If I just saw him walking in, unless he was carrying a big Israeli flag, I don't know that I would have said, hey, that's Benjamin Netanyahu. And secondly, just personally, I don't know that I would ever boo someone walking into a theater. That's just me personally. And I find that story just kind of weird. I'm all for booing at sporting events because that's kind of good natured and part of the sporting contract. But booing another audience member at Hamilton, that just seems weird to me. That's just, I don't know. I mean, and it has nothing to do with my stance on, you know, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It's just, I just can't imagine booing somebody. Like, I would feel really awkward, especially because he probably had a number of armed guards with him.
All right. Next up, Broadway World releases Come From Away opening number.
Yeah, my colleague Alan Henry, who lives in Toronto, he was at the, I guess it was a press event at the Mirvish Theater up in Toronto, where Come From Away, the musical that will be coming to Broadway later this season, will make its second out-of-town tryout, I guess. It's currently playing in Washington, D.C. after the D.C. Run ends. It goes up to the Mirvish, or it goes to Toronto. I don't think it's playing the Mirvish, but they did a kind of a press event, and we have a video of their opening number of the show. It's not fully staged, obviously, because they don't have their sets up there yet, but the cast is up there. They do the song, and it's basically a song that introduces all of the characters, and as we've talked about before, the show has to do with this tiny town that kind of became a refuge for planes that were in the air on September 11th of 2001. They needed a place to land, so they landed in this tiny town in Newfoundland, Canada, and this opening number introduces you to a lot of the characters who live in this tiny town in Gander, Newfoundland. And they kind of tell you who they are and what they were doing when all of a sudden their town was overrun with air passengers who couldn't get home after the largest terrorist attack in recent memory. So it's a cool opening number. Gives you the feel of the show. It's a very kind of folksy, down-home, folk music kind of thing. A lot of knee-slapping going on in this one. So it's cool. So check that out. We'll have a video in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com.
All right, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino to BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your Tuesday with us, and we'll be back and talk with you tomorrow.